Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. This is the reading of God's word. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh Father, let us be able, because of your grace, let us be able to hear your loving voice through your word, telling us what you have accomplished in Jesus Christ for us. Let us meet Jesus through your word. Have fellowship with him. And let us hear your word. And let us rejoice as we hear your word. For your word tells us that you are now our God and we are your people. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Lord, Jesus Christ, proclaims the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. He shows us the true pictures of the true citizens of heaven. He shows us how a citizen of heaven lives his or her life in this world. How would that life look like? Well, Jesus Christ shows us. He shows us what kind of people of God that we have become in Jesus Christ. He's saying that what we see in the Sermon on the Mount, that is the true picture of Christianity. Verses 43 and 44, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do you remember the four pictures of the citizens of heaven that we have looked at last Lord's Day? Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. A Christian is someone, if he is slapped on one cheek, then he turn the other cheek to that person. That was one picture. Second picture, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. A Christian is someone that if he is sued and that other person wants to take his shirt, then he lets him have his coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. And we did explain this last Lord's Day. The Roman soldiers, they have right to ask any Jew to carry their belongings 1,000 steps. It was degrading for a Jew to do that. But Jesus says to that person, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. Do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. And when you do give, don't expect to receive back anything. It is truly a foolishness to the world. If you tell the people of the world live like this, they're not going to accept this because it is utterly foolishness. What do you mean if somebody sue for my shirt and I just give them not only that shirt but my coat? Somebody degrades me by hitting me one cheek, then what do you mean I give him another? And that is the point. You are not the same as people of this world. If you are truly Christian, this is the life that you will accept, the life that you will want to live. Because it's the Holy Spirit who is in us. He has made us this kind of people already. Okay. We are not able to do this perfectly. But that doesn't mean we don't want to do this. That doesn't mean we don't even put any effort to do this. The Bible clearly rejects that. If you are truly Christian, it is your desire to obey your Lord. And it is His will for you to live this life. The life that belongs to heaven. But it is foolishness to this world. But here in our passage, he goes one step further. The Lord tells his people now, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28, Jesus says, but I say to you who hear, I say to you who hear. It's like saying, for those who have an ear to hear, because it is God who has to give that ear, otherwise they will not listen. They're not going to accept. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Verses 45 through 47 in our passage says, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles, meaning non-Christians, do the same? By loving our enemies, we witness that we are the sons of God, the Father, who is in heaven. The verse does not teach that if we love our enemies, then we become, because we love our enemies, that we become the sons of God. That is not what this verse teaches. And we have already looked at this matter, so I will not repeat it here again. A son is like his father. That's why when you look at a son, and if you are to choose his father from many men, you will be able to do that because a son is like his father. Son imitates his father. Genesis chapter 5 verse 3 says, when Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. A son is in the image of his father, in the likeness of his father, and you and I have been recreated in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the image of our God. Then we are like our God, and by God's grace and his work in us, we will be like our Lord Jesus Christ when we see him face to face. But spiritually, you have already recreated in the image of your God already. That's what it means to be saved. You and I have been resurrected with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly places already. Something has happened to us. We are not the same people that we used to be. That's what salvation does. You cannot claim to be saved and remain just the same before you were saved. Bible doesn't allow that. And we are called now to witness that change. We are called to witness what change that Jesus has brought to us. The life that now belongs to us is a life that belongs to the other world. That is why this world will not accept the life that Jesus Christ is talking about. But we must witness Jesus Christ and the reality that our Lord has accomplished for us. We must witness our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We must live the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the context of our passage, living that life of Christ means that we must love our enemies, because that is exactly the life that our Lord Jesus Christ has lived for you and for me. Who is our enemy? According to verse 44, they are those who persecute us. In the Old Testament, these Jews who did not understand the Bible clearly, they thought that all Gentiles are enemies. We must love and pray for our enemies, those who persecute us. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through the 7 says, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, it is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You are to love your enemy. And maybe you saying to yourself, how can I do that? Jesus Christ, in this sermon, is inviting you to live his life. Inviting all of you to live and to imitate him. Jesus prayed for those who were crucifying him on the cross. As these people were killing him on the cross, he prayed for them, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 10, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God loved us while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies of him. 1 John chapter 4 verse 10 says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It says when we did not love God, he loved us. We are not talking about loving someone who deserves our love. That, Jesus said, even non-Christians can do that. You don't have to be saved to do that. Even animals do that. We are not talking about loving someone who deserves our love. You and I, we did not deserve God's love, and yet he loved us. We are to love even our enemies. Verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? That kind of love, even the non-Christians do. I am not talking about that kind of love, Jesus is saying. The love that even non-Christian is able to love. Verse 47, if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? We are called to love. We are called to greet. We are called to pray for our enemies, those who persecute us. We must live this life because this is the life that God has given to us. The life that our Lord himself has lived. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 and 2a, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. You are to be concerned not only their physical needs, but also their spiritual needs. But the sinners, they abuse God's word. Jesus said, you have heard that you shall love your neighbor but hate your enemy. Now, there is no verse in the Bible that says, hate your enemy. But these people who are supposed to be the masters of the Bible, the Old Testament, they came up with this idea that God wants us to hate our enemy. How then they came up with this? Well, we could only speculate. But there are, in the Old Testament, some passages that you could go to. And if you do not understand correctly, you might get that idea. Like conquest of land of Canaan, the promised land, when they conquered that land, God says to go and kill everyone who is in that land. Or, when you read certain psalms, we call them imprecatory. Imprecatory psalms. Invoking a curse upon a person. That kind of psalms. So like King David invokes a curse upon a person. Again, there, if you don't understand that psalm correctly, you might get that idea that we are to hate our enemies. But we must understand what those passages were saying, what those passages were pointing to. You and I, we are right now living in what we might call the common grace era. God does shine His sun on the evil and the good. God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. During this common grace era, God gives the sun and rain to both Christians and non-Christians. But remember, brothers and sisters, when the common grace era is over, meaning when Jesus returns, God will judge the non-Christians. No longer He will shine His sun upon them. When Jesus returns, common grace stops. No more. And this world will be judged. The conquest of the land of Canaan was pointing to that final judgment of God. That in the Old Testament level, it already shows that what will happen when God comes. It was pointing to a time when the common grace ends. So our time, right now, is actually similar, not to Moses' time, or not to Joshua's time, but to Abraham's time. I mean, if you compare Abraham and Moses and Joshua, you will see big difference. Abraham is also commanded to go to the promised land. When Abraham goes to promised land, he doesn't go and kill everyone. And if he wants a land, you don't kill them to possess the land. Abraham actually paid for it. But now, Joshua, Moses, when they were commanded to go to promised land, they were commanded to go and kill everyone, destroy everyone, and possess the land without paying. Now, you have to ask, what's going on? Well, Abraham is pointing to common grace era. He lived the common grace era, but that common grace continued all the way up to today. But in the land of Canaan, in the Old Testament level, God has shown us the reality of that final judgment of God. Oh yes, you are called to love your enemy. But when Jesus returns, and all of his people are in heaven, and all of his enemies in hell, you are no longer to love your enemy. Because common grace is over. In heaven, we will not love our enemy at that time. But the time has not come yet. We live in the common grace era, the gospel era. We are called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not called to judge the world. Not yet. We are to witness Jesus Christ to everyone. All people are the object of our love during this common grace era. We are to preach the gospel to all, no distinction. Of course, when it comes to do good things, we are to do more to our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. But at this time, you do not know, I do not know who is elect and who is not. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. We are to preach the gospel. And there were times, remember brothers and sisters, there were times when we did not believe. And when that time when you and I, we did not believe, the love of God has come upon us. And that love of God has come upon us, and that love of God was witnessed through some person who was already Christian, who loved you. The love of God came to us when we did not believe. And we are to witness that love to all. The love that you have received, you are to witness that to the whole world. We are to love and pray so that our enemies, they too might know that love. It is through you that the world will see what the love is. If there is no Christians in this world, then this world will never see what true love is. You are the only ones. Christians are the only ones who could show that love that God has brought to us. And you are to witness that love to the whole world. Even to your enemies, you are to pray. You are to pray for them. Not just for their physical needs, but ultimately for their salvation. And there is no distinction when it comes to this love. See, that was what was at fault in the Old Testament. They made these human distinctions. And Jesus is saying that time is over. The heaven has come. Now is for the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we make no such distinction. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, oh, do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God. Of course, God is saying to non-Christians, he's not saying it to you if you're a Christian, because there is no judgment for you. But understand what God is doing. See, God, in this gospel age, he shows his love, he shows his kindness, he shows his patience. And Christians are to imitate that and show that love, show that kindness, show that patience of God to the whole world. But if God's grace is upon that person, that kindness, that love will lead that person to repentance. But if God's grace is not upon that person, that person is already stubborn. So what is happening to them? Well, they're storing up more wrath of God. And that is what we need to imitate. Judgment, revenge, you leave it up to God. But you show this love of God, this kindness of God, so that by God's grace, using your ministry, or should I say your life, so that he might lead someone to repentance through it. Go to Romans 12. The same concept. Verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So you are called to just show the love and kindness of God by preaching the gospel, witnessing Jesus Christ. And the judgment and the vengeance and revenge, that is up to God. We continue to love. And we must love our enemies to witness that the law is indeed fulfilled. Jesus came to fulfill the law. And the law is fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Galatians 5 verse 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We must, by loving our enemies, witness that the law is indeed fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In the gospel era, our enemies are our neighbors. You all know the story of a good Samaritan, so I'm not going to go there and read it. Luke chapter 10. Samaritans, they were looked down upon by the Jews, because they were mixed blood people. So they were considered unclean. So they were not welcome at the temple. So these Samaritans, they had to build their own temple and worship there, even though God did not say anything about building a new temple. But it was that Samaritan who was good neighbor to a Jew. They were, so to speak, enemies at the time. But isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ used a Samaritan as a good neighbor? He who has received grace from God shows that grace to everyone. What is grace? Grace is God's blessing when you do not deserve it. Actually, when you deserve the opposite, when you deserve the judgment, God still blesses you. And this is the attitude that you must have as you deal with people all around you. Yeah, they might not deserve your love. So, that does not give you right to not love them. Because if that was how it was, then you and I would never be saved. Do you remember this? Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. But brothers and sisters, you and I, we already possess that reward in Jesus Christ. We already possess God and His kingdom as our eternal inheritance. We too did not deserve God's love. While we were His enemy, He loved us. While we were dead in our trespasses and sin, while we lived according to the course of this world, while we live according to the prince of the power of the air, while we were living according to the lust of our flesh, Jesus Christ prayed for you and for me. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you this question. What would be your limit in loving your enemy? What would be your limit? In loving your enemy. What was Jesus' limit in loving His enemy? What kind of mistreatments? What kind of persecutions? What kind of insults? What kind of losses will make you not love your enemy? We simply do not know who is elect and who is not. That is why God calls us to love your enemies. And by loving that enemy, you witness Jesus Christ. It's the gospel living, brothers and sisters. It's living out the gospel. God who loved His enemies. Again, what would be your limit in loving your enemy? What would make you not pray for them? What would make you not love them? Because if we understand the gospel, we know that it is not an option. We are saved into this kind of life. Verse 48, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We are called to be like our God, even as He commands us to be perfect, but the condition is what? That we are to be perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect. It is our purpose to be like our God. We are called to be like Christ. We are called to live His life. And yes, brothers and sisters, no matter how much we try, we could never be perfect. But remember that your Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished that perfectness for you already. Because for eternity, you will live in this glorious, perfect place. As a perfect person, as a perfect as your God. That salvation has already accomplished. You already received that salvation. You already received that life. That you are already made into that person who will live as a perfect person in that perfect place with that perfect God. If that salvation is not yours already, then you're not a Christian. And you must believe. This is your life. And understanding and knowing and believing that this is my life, I will do my best to witness it. Only reason that you might not witness it is that you don't believe. You don't truly believe. You might even go, not your head. Well, some of you will not your head because you're sleeping, but you will not your head. But you truly don't believe it. The perfectness of heaven is already yours in Jesus Christ. And we must witness that reality as much as possible. As much as our faith demands it. Brothers and sisters, remember, faith without works is dead. I don't want any one of us have comfort in faith without works. It's not an option. This is who we are. We must love our enemies. We must turn the other cheek when we're slapped. And the other. The will of God toward you and toward me, His sons, is to be like Christ. We are called to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And yes, one day we will be perfect like Jesus Christ. Let us witness that that is the will of God for us by loving our enemies. Let us witness Jesus Christ who loved us, His enemy. The heaven has begun. And this good news of the kingdom is now being preached to you. And we are to take this good news, the gospel, to the ends of the world. God is good to His people. He forgives sins. And He loves even His enemies. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love that You have shown to us through Jesus Christ. Let us witness this love, no matter who we meet, even our enemies. Let us witness this love that we have in Jesus Christ. Bless Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.